And hello, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. I doubt I have to tell you what that little theme was that you were listening to on the way in. Tradition, one of the classic songs from the classic show, Fiddler on the Roof. This one takes me back to my childhood, but I've seen it so many times, I can't even begin to tell you. It truly is one of my favorite things, favorite shows in my life. And whenever I'm asked, what is your favorite Broadway show? People expect me to say, Evan Hansen, Wicked, and they are all great. But Fiddler on the Roof is the answer that comes out of my mouth. Joining me, I couldn't be more pleased, are the leads from Fiddler on the Roof, Stephen Skybell, who plays Tevye. And this is not his first rodeo with Fiddler on the Roof. He's done it many times. And I ask you a little bit about that because you work with Joel Grey. And playing Golda, Debbie Gravett, who is a Tony Award winner, and she's got a special. When is your special on PBS? When's the next one coming up, Debbie?
Oh, my God. I really should be well informed, shouldn't I? But it all.
Well, I will tell you it's in the fall. So I'll help you out that
way. All right. Well, it's in the fall, Paul.
Well, welcome. So this production of Fiddler, different than any I've ever seen, and I think I've seen them all, at the Lyric Opera House, is just stunning. Check out the reviews. I know my guests don't like reading the reviews, but I don't mind saying them because I have never seen such stellar reviews, really, for a show written by Chris Jones of the Tribune, the Sun-Times. They just, I was telling Stephen, Debbie, Chris began his review by saying, I'm trying to find the words to tell you, you must see this show.
Wow. Doesn't
get any better than that from that guy. And anyway, I have so much to talk to you about. But Stephen, I was also intrigued to learn you were in Joel Grey, who I interviewed a couple of years ago. Joel Grey's version of Fiddler. So do you speak Yiddish or did you simply memorize the Yiddish you had to know?
Well, no, I had studied Yiddish. It was a long, circuitous. Oh, hold on. My phone is ringing. I beg your pardon. It was a long, circuitous route to getting to the Yiddish fiddler, but my brother and I had studied Yiddish just on our own. And then I formally studied some Yiddish when I was in Chicago doing Wicked in 2006. I contacted the woman, Chana Fagel Turteltaub, who unfortunately has passed away. Right. But
should they get that whole name on her on the gravestone?
I'm sure they did.
OK,
there wasn't a large enough enrollment for me to audit the Yiddish class. So she offered to teach me in her home. And I did that once a week. So I had some Yiddish in my mouth and some understanding of Yiddish. But I'm still today not a real confident Yiddish speaker, but I certainly can hold my own somewhat, but that that was the Fiddler on the Roof that was in Yiddish. And
it sounds like you were able to at least memorize the Yiddish words you had to know to say that script. I guess what I'm saying is, were you translating it in your head or you just simply went to the Yiddish because you knew?
I ultimately realized I needed to know exactly what I was saying in Yiddish. And then it dawned on me late in the process, you know, it was like acting 101. Not only did I need to know what I was saying in Yiddish, I had to know what everyone was saying to me in Yiddish. And so it ended up being a true labor of love. I'm happy to tell you we are reviving it in New York City starting November 13th. I'm going to leave this Chicago Fiddler, have a week off, and then start rehearsals for the Yiddish Fiddler revival, which will go through New Year's in the city at Stage 40.
And I'm happy to tell you I knew that was happening, and I hope to get out there to see it. Debbie, one of the things that's interesting, listen, is I know this show so well and pretty much have the script committed to memory myself,
right.
That, of course, there's so much, Debbie, extra Yiddish that comes in. I'm sort of curious. There's, you know, Gavalt. There's just all these words that come up. Is that scripted in now, or are people just given some freedom to toss in some Yiddish when they know it? We certainly get a lot of that from, you know, from Yenta and some others.
Well, I don't even really know how to answer that, honestly, except that maybe it just slips out a little bit when it's appropriate. How about that?
Which also means people, so many members of the cast have to have, I guess everybody's got enough familiarity with Yiddish to pull it off, right? We all, whether you're Jewish or not, you know some of these words.
I think that everybody in the world knows a few of these words. And And honestly, everything you're hearing, what you basically hear is we say it in English and then, but you know, this is giving a wrong idea. There's a word here and a word there peppered in.
Right.
Right. But it is true that the production, which is Barry Kosky's production from Berlin, the Komische Oper Berlin, they, because it was presented in German, they could be a little more fluid with some Yiddish. And so I think the German production did have much more Yiddish than the Broadway script has. And I even think Barry said that the scenes between Jenta and Golda were in Yiddish. Because a German-speaking audience would be able to follow it somewhat.
Well, they're very close. Those languages are very close.
Right. So, right. Yeah. So we did, based on what they did in Berlin, he encouraged us to sprinkle the Yiddish in.
Gotcha. Well, I think it's fabulous myself. Yeah. But and Stephen, since we just had some clarity from you, Debbie, I'll come back to you. I have to ask you about the set. Everybody that has walked in to see Fiddler on the Roof from 1964 on until Saturday, is used to seeing Anna Tefka lay out on stage. We don't get Anna Tefka. And I have had more discussions with people, including the reviewers, Chris Jones, people trying to get a sense of what the set. I don't think I'm ruining anything at this point because there's been reviews. People have seen it. So it's a set of armoires. And that. So I've heard everything from it's always Jews on the move. It's what can you explain the set? Debbie, I'll start with you on that.
Yeah. Ask Debbie.
Yes, ask Debbie. So I see it as, you know, it's a shtetl. It's our town. And it's all sort of, you know, and there is sort of a little bit of a feeling of claustrophobia in those old towns. And I think it all just sort of, because, well, I don't want to give that away. Oh my God, Paul, you're making me give everything away.
No, that's why I asked an open-ended question. You can say only as much as you want.
Okay. I'm going to finish with this. I think it's spectacular what we've done, what Barry's vision is in terms of you, it can be sort of anything. It's our house. It's our, it's the barn. It's outside, inside. So it's a little bit of everything. How about that for evasion?
I'm willing to go with that. Yeah. And when we look at, there's something else. I'm so glad I get to talk to you because these are the questions I walked out of the theater with. And I went, gee, I hope I can ask somebody. I think I'll ask the stars. So, Stephen, the other thing is, you know, one of the other numbers, in addition to Rich Man, that I'm so well known for in my community.
Yes.
But I've also performed the Chavala Ballet sequence.
Yes.
And, of course, here, the first time that I can recall that the Chava Ballet is out. I wasn't surprised. I'll be honest with you. As I'm sitting there, I'm hearing you sing the song. I'm going, oh, that makes no sense. They have the ballet and there wasn't there, but was there much discussion about that?
There was, well, I'll tell you this, you know, we were hired guns for this production that was already figured out in Berlin. So there wasn't real discussion in terms of, can we change things? Because they had set this, we received what they wanted. The only thing I asked Barry is that, you know, Tevye sings the two verses and then there's this musical interlude, which is the ballet, which we do retain. We retain the music, but we don't have the dancing. I said to Barry, are you really convinced that my sitting here will hold without anything else going on? And that's when he reminded me, because I didn't realize it, that Chava is making her way slowly to me in the snow while that is happening. And so he assured me, and I do believe him, that it dramatically holds because we're watching her make this entrance. And I'm glad the music's not cut because as Tevye in previous productions, Tevye doesn't really get to watch the ballet, but I love the musical interlude that is the ballet.
Me too. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And Debbie, the other thing is that we have that. And by the way, some of the other numbers, the bottle dance is there, but that certainly seemed very revised to me. And and I noticed in Matchmaker, we don't get any brooms. All of those have to be determined at some point, right, Debbie?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all this brilliant, the brilliant concept of Barry Kosky. And I have not done the show before. Of course, I've also seen it many, many times, including Stephen in the brilliant Yiddish version. He's brilliant in any language, it seems. We're going to France next.
Please let that be true.
Please, right? I to me, there isn't anything that's false in the show. I don't know how else to say it. Everything just rings so true. And you know, I remember Barry talking to, you know, our daughters, quote unquote, about Matchmaker. And, you know, these are smart girls, and they've grown up with fun, smart, you know, parents. So, you know, and clearly you can see from the production that he doesn't go for any of the obvious moments, including the brooms in Matchmaker.
Makes sense. And here's, you know, somebody mentioned to me who didn't, they were kind of young. And so they mentioned the comment, they went, you know, this Tevye and Golda, they sort of seem younger. And I went, finally. Because it's always played when Topol was doing the 1,000th anniversary of A Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
I love Topol, but and Dudu Fischer is a good friend of mine. If you've seen him perform this, but they're older. But actually, if you think about this, in 1905, Stephen, Tevye and Golda would not have been that old. They would have been what, late 30s.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, if we note Seitel is not yet 20, so let's say she's 19. Tevye and Golda could be almost 40, you know, and thank you for saying that we are young. I think it's the distance in an opera house that helps us with that.
No, I was in the fifth row, Stephen, so that's not true.
But the thing is that I'll speak for Debbie as well as myself. We're vital, and we, you know, we have to, we're climbing the set, you know, so we are being asked to do things that require a certain physicality, and I do think from Tevye's point of view, you know, I played him the first time I played Tevye was when I was 17 at Interlochen in Michigan at summer camp, and I've said that when I first played Tevye as a teenager, of course I was only interested in all the things that made him into an older man for my acting.
Right.
Well, now that I am more age appropriate for Tevye, I'm struck by his youth and his youthful spirit and his kind of indomitable hope that seems to survive regardless of all the things that life throws him. And that to me is a beautiful thing. And he is young at heart, even if his age can vary. I do think he's got a real rebound in the way he deals with life. That is something I admire.
Stephen, I want to stay with you for this because it's sort of tied to what you're saying. I think the age may play it, but, and again, if I'm giving things away, if people haven't seen Fiddler by now, the shame on them. But you know, at the end, when Chava shows up, right, people are leaving and Chava shows up in every production until this one.
Yeah.
There is a way that Tevye has the line, and God be with you, which doesn't come from him to her. It kind of gets picked up by Golda and all of that. But this time, it is not handled that way. Am I reading something real there?
Well, I don't quite know what you're asking, no. So
I'll be more clear and give more away. So in the previous productions, Tevye says, may God be with you, but he says it to himself and almost into the cart, and Golda hears it, and Golda yells at the Chava, and he kind of yells at Golda for doing it. But in your production, it is clear you want Chava to hear you.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, it's that actually Tevye says it to Seitel, and Seitel passes it on. So
Golda just gets excited. That's all.
Exactly.
That's what Golda gets excited by it. But it is indeed the way I that's how I've always understood the moment to be, is that, and it's because Chava is quote unquote dead to Tevye and theoretically dead to Golda, but they're dealing with it in their own personal ways. Seitel is the one who says, goodbye, Chava, goodbye, Fiedka. Seitel is saying, she in that moment is rejecting the thing she knows we are dealing with. And so I do think it's just a crack of a door opening. I don't know that they're going to write and say, come and visit us on the Lower East Side, bring Fiedka too, and we'll have a nice Sabbath meal. You know, I don't know what the future is, but I do believe that in that moment, Tevye is trying to reach Chava through the agency of Zeitel and passing on a message. And I don't know what it means absolutely, but it is a crack of a communication to when he has already said she's dead to us. So yeah. He's acknowledging that.
And to me, it's that really for Tevye, he might be tough on the outside, but no, that's not who he is.
Right.
And so let's go back to Debbie with the tough questions. I noticed there are little subtle line changes here and there. I assume they're intentional. And so I'm going to just ask you about just a couple of things. So in Wonder of Wonder, the last line of the song, which in the original, Motel says, "And God has given you to me." Mm-hmm. What I heard in your production was, "She has given you to me." Did I hear that correctly, Debbie?
Paul, because I'm not in that number, puff, puff. I don't really know, but I would say no.
I think you heard it wrong.
I think you heard that wrong.
All right. I checked it with Chris Jones. He heard it too.
Oh, my.
Wow.
So I thought that was a significant, I just thought that was a little bit of an update thing that really caught my attention.
I don't know that to be true.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's why we're checking this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Stephen.
Paul, come on, bring him.
I'm going to give one. Stephen, do we have a word change from English to Yiddish at the end of To Life?
L'chaim?
Yeah, because in the other productions, they end up by yelling
To Life. Right.
But yes, here we get L'chaim.
Well, right. Yes. Yes,
but they
indeed.
Actually say L'chaim to life. They just say it both. They say both.
Well, the whole song is both. But we do end with the Yiddish as opposed to the English.
Right.
Indeed.
Yeah. And that's what I was asking. And now I want to talk about your relationship because it's complex. And I had a very long discussion with someone where we talked about, and maybe it's because of the Jewish family I grew up in. And I take the position that Golda really runs the house, but Tevye is trying to be the man that every man at that time wanted to be. But I'm used to growing up with a woman that ran the house. Debbie, who runs the house in this show? Does Golda run the household or does Tevye?
Oh, I don't think that's not a hard question at all. I think Golda runs the household, but.
Well, no, I mean, but I mean, you know.
But if we're under Tevye's roof, you know, Tevye, as much as, you know, I like to think that Golda thinks she's very modern, but she, you know, it's what her husband says. It's what her husband says. That's what goes, as difficult and as much as she may fight it. But he does have the last word. But she obviously runs the house.
Oh, yes, in the household. But Stephen, do you know what I'm going after here? It almost as though Tevye makes these decisions, but he's got to get his wife on board with things.
I think I do believe that. Well, first, I mean, both Barry Kosky and Joel Grey used the exact same word when talking about Golda, which is she's the general. She really is running everything. And you know, there's the Yiddish expression, the Luftmensch. So I do think Tevye is a little bit more of a dreamer and Gold is much more practical in a way. And so he can have as if I were a rich man dream, but she's the one that says he's not up yet. We got to clean the barn, you know? And so I do think she runs everything, and he may bristle at that sometimes, but I think he really depends on that. And the other thing that I love about this musical, which, you know, obviously when it was written, it was, I mean, when Shalom Aleichem wrote it, you can't say he wrote necessarily a feminist story, but he did surround Tevye with all these women and
strong women too.
What? Yeah.
Which? Strong women.
They're strong women, exactly. So we see these daughters who, in the course of the story, are pushing the parents, are going ahead of the parents, you know, and saying, "I want to marry for love, and I want to marry for ideals, and even I want to marry beyond the bounds of my faith," and all of that is beyond what Tevye and Golda probably feel for themselves, but they are the ones who, and I think Golda especially, empowered their daughters, you know. And so in that regard, I think Tevye and Golda are a really good couple together, you know.
There's a cathartic moment. I'm going to play for our listeners, Do You Love Me, which is the version that you guys do in the show.
Yeah.
So I want you to listen to the two of you singing Do You Love Me.
Do you love me?
Do I what?
Do you love me?
Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you want out, go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion.
Now go there. I'm asking you a question.
Do you love me?
You're a fool.
I know. But do you love me?
Do I love you? For 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?
Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared.
I was shy.
I was nervous.
So was I.
But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. So now I'm asking Golda, do you love me?
I'm your wife.
I know. But do you love me?
Yeah. And Debbie, again, I'll come to you because this is a cathartic moment after we hear the song. Talk to me about the cathartic moment this song seems to be in your relationship.
It does, because I've been pretty aggravated at him about making, you know, all these decisions without me, especially about Perchik and Hoddle. And he gives them their permission and he doesn't, you know, ask me anything about it. Not that he's supposed to, but because of our relationship. And then he brings up all this, you know, kooky love stuff, which is so, you know, we're busy people. We've just, you know, we're just trying to feed our family and keep us nice and warm. And so when he brings that up, I'm completely aggravated at him. But, you know, he knows me, and it sort of just cracks open my heart as we're just sitting there being sort of still, because he reminds me of what, you know, this life we've had together and what that's meant and what it's got us to. And I sort of fall under his spell and admit that I do love him too.
And Stephen, for your Tevye, this is a question he really needs answered, right? It's not like he has the answer and he wants her to confirm it.
Yes, indeed. And I'll tell you, before I answer the question fully, one of the joys of doing this production at Lyric Opera of Chicago, coming out of the Yiddish Fiddler and then going back into the Yiddish Fiddler, although we are not opera singers, but in some ways it's a little bit what opera singers go through, which is they play, you know, they play whatever role, Carmen, and they go all over the world in different productions of Carmen. And so, and bring with them all the other things. So I'm gathering things from Joel Gray's Yiddish Fiddler and putting it in the English as long as Barry seems okay with it. And one of the things I love about the musical Fiddler on the Roof is the song Do You Love Me, in that it happens in the middle of the second act. And it's been received as a sort of joke, you know, from when we first heard it originally, that it's like Tevye asks the question and it electrocutes Golda every time he says the word. And that's basically the joke. But it occurred to me when I was doing the Yiddish Fiddler, and it still is true today, that he asks it seven times, you know. So to answer your question, Paul, it's really a question he is hoping for an answer. And it's a question he never really thought that he would ever ask. That's what I feel, is that these daughters of theirs are talking about love in a way. And he says, it's a new style. We met on the day we were married. We were told maybe love will come into the picture, but who knows? But because of where their daughters are going, Tevye feels compelled to try and see if that piece of that pie is possible for him and Golda. This at this point in their lives, that's another thing I love about Fiddler on the Roof, is that the protagonists, Tevye and Golda, are in the middle of their life's journey. They're not the ingenue and the juvenile, but they are in a place where they're looking back and forward and trying to see how do we navigate. And I absolutely feel that it's a risk for Tevye in his heart to ask this question. And he's also saying she may say no. I love also that it's really about the guy asking the girl and waiting to hear what she has to say. And thankfully, you know, she says, I guess I do. And that's the best she can do. I suppose I do love you. And he says, well, I suppose I love you too. So,
you know, maybe Debbie, why don't you throw him one night and just go, not really, I don't.
<We're> right.
If I'm going to be honest with you. All right. Tough question to Debbie, because I don't know how much to spill on this one. Ooh, that was an unintended pun. Debbie, there's probably nothing more dramatically different about this production than what takes us into the intermission. I will simply say that anybody who has seen Fiddler on the Roof over the last decades sees the area that, I won't say the town of Anatevka, but anyways, the town of Anatevka, it's a pogrom, it's burning, that may be going on here, but something very different happens here. And I'm curious to know, you can say what it is or not. I don't know how you feel about disclosing that, but it was stunning and shocking. Yeah. And I just don't know. It really was powerful.
Yeah.
I don't, Stephen, do we give this away or not?
I don't think we want to give it absolutely away.
You can talk about it, just knowing something different happens.
Yeah, it's just something does end the first act that it's incredibly visceral. And anyone with a beating heart is going to feel that.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the more brilliant ideas that Barry Kosky, he had a dream about it. Let's put it this way.
Really?
And he realized it. But I don't want to give this one away, Paul.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. That's fine.
I will say that, Barry was also saying, the pogrom at the end of Fiddler's first act can always seem a little like, oh, Russians come and they kick a chair, or they turn over fake fruit, and that's what it is. And he just knew he wanted something. And the word he used, because it was humiliating, that it's not necessarily that no one loses their life at the end of our first act, but it's a humiliating thing specifically for Tevye's family.
That's right.
And he did. He said he couldn't. He dreamed it up out of a panic the day before he was to stage this in Berlin. and it is like nothing I've ever experienced in Fiddler or really on stage, that just viscerally takes you to the moment, and you don't even have to act, because what the Russians do to us is so brutal in its way, but not, and violent, but no one really is hurt. It's much more of an emotional scarring than anything.
And I'm going to add in, and personal.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was at the Goodman Theater last night at a dinner before the opening of the show Clyde's, which, by the way, I think you get some nights off here and there. Yeah. If you're in town, go see Clyde's at the Goodman. It's incredible.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Don't miss it. But that being said, or by the way, also go ahead and see what was Teatro Zanzani over with Frank Ferranti and all of that. I got lots of shows for you to see while on your nights off.
Okay.
But anyway, so at this dinner last night, I was telling everybody about Fiddler at my table, and I got to that intermission scene, and I found that I couldn't tell them what it was. I said, you know what? I'm not telling you. You just need to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. And so now, Debbie, this is not so tough, but some people would say, why does a show that's, you know, 60 years old, why does it have the, play on your name, gravitas that, you know, it had so many years ago. So we'll come to Debbie with it. And I think the answer is it's probably more relevant today than it was when it opened.
I think that I think that
because of the world situation is what I mean.
Yeah, but for some reason, we humans seem to always be in something of this situation, no matter where in the world. And I think, I mean, I'm stating the complete obvious, but the complete core of the show is family. Yeah. And because we're human beings, we're all from family. And everybody has had a mother or father in some form or another. And you either have siblings or you've got cousins, you have family, you have mishpacha. And it's such a universal theme, which is why it's done in a trillion languages and it's beloved everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think that even though it does resonate now with, you know, war going on in Ukraine and Russians, and I mean, you know, all of that is very pertinent. But I think that next week, if there were peace in the world in Ukraine, it would still be pertinent to us.
I totally agree. Stephen, I assume you agree as well.
Yes. I mean, the thing I love, the catchphrase that the Lyric Opera has put on our production is that love is the greatest tradition of all. And I love that, because the musical is about love, and it starts with family. And then towards the second half of the musical, it opens up to include the world. But as Debbie said, it's like we're all of one human family. And so if we could let love guide us, then maybe we wouldn't feel like we have to push people out or leave people behind or have an intolerance that seems to be the fabric of life. But I do agree absolutely that as Rosie, you know, and Barry is in agreement with my adolescent self, because I used to believe that Tevye, you're getting kicked out of your home, but you're going to go to America and you're going to have me as a grandson and you're going to probably make a lot of money in whatever you choose to do. And while that seems like the American dream version, and Barry believes that Tevye makes a lot of money when he goes to America, the truth is that he is thrown out of his home along with his entire shtetl. Yeah. And that, sadly, that is still pertinent today. And as long as I think the world turns, it's going to remain pertinent. And the beautiful thing about Fiddler is it doesn't rose color it. It really just lets it sit as what it is. And you make your own conclusions as to how to go forward.
By the way, Stephen, did I catch another change? Laser Wolf says he's going to New York. And I thought Tevye says, and we're going to, it was either Chicago or Milwaukee. I thought it was Chicago. No. That will be neighbors. That got dropped.
Laser's going to Chicago. That is true. Tevye is going to New York. I think in the movie, they added the line, we'll be neighbors.
Okay.
But that's not in the Broadway. Laser goes to Chicago and Tevye is going to stay with Golda's brother in New York.
Okay, gotcha. Right. Just want to run that by you. We have only a couple of moments left. And Debbie, I just want to ask you the difference between performing on a Broadway stage or the different stages you're on. And then, man, you find yourself on the Lyric in Chicago, one of the grandest stages, I would argue, in the world.
I'm going to completely and totally agree with you. But I think as an actor, God, not all the world's a stage, but every stage, there's something about that cocoon of us being up there. It's another place. It just so happens that we're singing to and playing to a lot of people. But in doing the show, even though I mean, Stephen and I both saw the theater at the same time. We both like snuck in while they were rehearsing for Hernani, the big opera. And you're sort of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? The bottom line is, mercifully, we've been able to keep the show as intimate as it can be. So I never, and I'm a real like audience watcher when I'm doing other shows, but not in this. It feels, I feel like I'm just in my little shtetl on the stage.
Yeah.
I love it. And Stephen, let me just ask you, I mean, you've been in Chicago before, you've done Wicked, other shows, but So I love asking actors who are in our city, at least for a time, what are the must-sees? Have you gone to the Ice Cream Museum, by the way, which recently opened?
No, I haven't. I heard of it, but I haven't been there yet. I mean, I'll tell you, my mother grew up in Chicago, and so I was here as a child, and I have great nostalgia for Chicago. I'll tell you, I love this town this time in a way I've never experienced before. The river is incredible. I've done the architecture tour on the river yesterday. What felt like the first good day off. I was at the Art Institute of Chicago, taking in such beautiful art. And then I had lunch at the Palmer House and had their signature Bloody Mary. I am really in love with the city of Chicago, I will tell you that.
And by the way, you know the brownie was invented at the Palmer House, right?
I didn't, but I know that the lady was trying to sell it to me.
It's a true story. It was, of course, it was Bertha and Potter Palmer, and Bertha Palmer invented the, there was a reason for her doing it. It had to do with the workmen or something, but yes, It was invented at the Palmer House. Wow. And Debbie, what are the must do's for you? What have you loved the most while you're here?
Well, just like Stephen, my mom actually came here from Warsaw, Poland. And so she spent a lot of time here before she moved west where I grew up. But unfortunately I haven't had a lot of free time because I've been running off to do other things.
She was singing in Pittsburgh last night.
Well, okay. I'm not, Pittsburgh's a nice city, but so while you're here, Debbie, you know, you got to do the pizza. There's all sorts of things. Stephen will take, why don't you take Stephen, take her to the ice cream museum.
Okay. Sounds good.
Nothing would make me happier than the ice cream museum followed by the Palmer House brownie. I can assure you.
And just so you know, I'm not here doing a plug for the ice cream museum, but you get Dove bars while you're waiting in line, as many as you want. And then as you walk through the 12 rooms, there's all this very, and it ends with Chicago hot dog flavored ice cream served on a bun with mustard.
Oh my goodness.
I might have to pass on that one. But
some people do, but it's terrible, but I had to have the guts to try it. So I did. I got to tell you guys, I mean, as I said, I've seen Fiddler a million times. I always see it every time. It actually just played this past season with Broadway in Chicago. Mm. So I came thinking, I'm going to see another production of it. I'll love it, but it's Fiddler on the Roof. But yeah. I got to tell you, to say you blew me away. And again, I keep quoting my friend Chris Jones, the Tribune critic. He was so emotionally moved by this show. I've never seen him like that. That was an intermission. This just has an impact that all I can tell people is you must see the show. And the thing is, it's only here until October 7th. And you don't do shows every night. There's really a limited run here.
Yeah.
We literally have 9 shows left from today.
It's an opera schedule, which for us Broadway babies, we're not used to all this downtime, but it's a very limited run of an amazing production.
Yeah, makes you want to go into opera, doesn't it? Hey, I only got to work 2 hours a week. People can get tickets at lyricopera.org/fiddler, lyricopera.org/fiddler. This is just a show people shouldn't miss. And I thank you for spending time with me. If you ask me, do I love you? The answer is yes, I love you. And and if I could, I would see this every night you were here. Congratulations, Mazel Tov, and have a great rest of the run.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.